This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day featuring Father Mark Lawler of St. Therese Catholic Church of Mooresville.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them, "Clearly, Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I look back, one of the things that certainly changed in my life experience from my time growing up until the time I began my religious formation was that growing up, I was never really around very ill people. And I can think back, I think by the time I graduated high school, I can only recall a couple of funerals that I was ever at. Of course, in ministry, that all changed for me, and especially these last couple years. We had 100 deaths in the parish last year. And as I said, up until the time I graduated high school, I was only at two funerals. I had two funerals yesterday, you know, just in one day, a funeral mass here, and then I had a graveside service over in Concord. But as over the years, I've become very familiar with the funeral rites of the church and the prayers at the funeral, whether the vigil, the mass, or the graveside service, remind us that life is changed, not ended. Kind of a sense of a transition, or even a sense of a door. Now we are on this side of that door, but one day we too will perhaps hear the sound of a trumpet, maybe the message of an angel, the call of our name, and that will be our time to pass through that door from here to eternal life. This gospel passage, the account of the raising of Lazarus, is broken up. There's actually a couple of the lectionary readings for funerals from this passage, this very hopeful. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." I think that many people, even if they've never spent too much time reading Scripture or not too involved in their faith, I think pretty much everybody knows the story of Lazarus, who had been dead for several days in the tomb, and our Lord, you know, called him to life, resuscitated him. And I think that there's a great representation of Lazarus. He was a personal friend of the Lord. He was one that the Lord loved. And Jesus wept at his tomb. Really a great image there of our Lord weeping, even as he was preparing to call him to new life. And in our own experiences, everybody has been at some sense of the loss of a loved one, physical death, even with the virtue of hope and trust in the mercy, divine providence, there is a sense of pain, of separation. I can remember especially the first year or so after my father's death, there were times where I said, "Yeah, something happened. I'd like to talk to Dad about that." I'm like, "Well, I just can't call him." You know, so there is that sense of a physical separation. I can remember after my mother's death, the first Thanksgiving, because my mother, she was one who used every pot, every utensil, everything in the preparation of Thanksgiving, all the side dishes. The whole dining room was full of everything. And that first Thanksgiving after her death, it was very quiet. It was a whole different type of experience. So there is that separation. Sometimes, as I'm often involved with people in, I think about every day of the last 2 weeks, I've either been at ICU in the hospital or at hospice, and there are people that are very ill in these conditions, and sometimes after death, a family member will say something to the effect of, well, so-and-so is in a better place. And again, that's said with hope, especially one who has suffered and all of the treatments. Sometimes the treatments are very harsh as well. But the whole sense of that's our hope and our prayer of a better place. And we have reason to hope. Scripture has it, the Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, and rich in compassion. And after death, certainly someone is beyond the human limitation, the pain of illness, a handicap, the struggles, and pass to eternal life. And that's, the final sacraments of the church are also very hopeful. You know, usually the anointing of the sick, a prayer for body and soul, for all of us, one day the body will stop, the soul continues. The absolution, forgiveness of sins, and human weakness, and for those who are gravely ill, the apostolic pardon entrusted to priests for those who are seriously ill. And then if a person is able to receive the final communion, which is called as viaticum, basically food for the journey. And I've actually, it's been a great honor to give people the viaticum sometimes very shortly before death. Just a couple weeks ago at hospice, I was called, and it was, you talk about kind of last minute, was called to visit someone over at the Mitchell Mack Hospice Center right here in Mooresville. And at the final blessing, the sign of the cross, that was her last breath right there. And so I said, that's happened to me once before, where that was certainly providential, that she received all of her blessings and sacraments really at her last moment, basically her last heartbeat. One of the things that we can say with trust is that the Lord has prepared a place. In his final discourse with his apostles, prior to his own death on Calvary for our redemption, the Lord said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you." And again, as Scripture has it, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has the human mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." I can remember once I was backpacking up in the Canadian Rockies, and I climbed up this mountain and could see glaciers and a lake and a waterfall, and kind of be taken in by the view. A beautiful place of creation. And I thought about that when somebody asked me once, and this was after a mass, and she was a very top-trained doctor. She asked me, said, "Do you think that heaven is going to be boring? You know, just kind of floating around in the clouds and things. Is it going to be boring?" And I thought to myself, even if I can be taken in by a beautiful mountaintop experience, how much more to be in the presence of the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the communion of saints, some of them perhaps even that we know, from our own families, and the communion of saints with a choir of angels. No, I don't think it's going to be boring. It's going to be beyond our comprehension. Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. Lazarus, a believer, a friend of the Lord, the one the Lord loves, the one for whom he weeps, and the one the Lord calls to new life. Lazarus, come out. Come out of the tomb. And again, a miracle of the raising of Lazarus, but again, kind of representative, his encounter with the Lord brought him new life. We see that sometimes as well of people who are, you know, just 2 weeks on Easter will be coming into the church with the sacraments of initiation. In a certain sense, for many, often, they will say that they have found new life in Christ. Sometimes people who were baptized and raised in the church and got off path somewhere, got off on a tangent, and then coming back, recognizing new life in Christ. Interesting, as you do a word study, and in Scripture, many of the names actually have a meaning. You know, it's not as much known to us, you know, in some of our common names, but the name Lazarus actually means God helps. And God helped Lazarus, even called those at the tomb, untie him and let him go free. A lesson for us as well. The Lord wants to free us, and perhaps even calling us to help others. Untie him and let him go free. So in Christ, we have new life and also the call to holiness.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.